everyone. Welcome to the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, July 5th. I'm Kevin Rogers at the microphone. Glad to have you listening as always. Looks like a beautiful warm day ahead for the Fort Dodge area. Let's go ahead and take a look at what's in the messenger for today. A talent-filled fourth is the title of our first article as Gowrie celebrates Independence Day with the Bill Riley search. Nobody does 4th of July celebrations quite like little towns in Iowa. Gowrie got its festivities started June 26th with the Firecracker 40 bike race. On Friday, the fun continued with a pork loin dinner hosted by American Legion Peterson Post, number 431, bingo, and a carnival in City Park. The annual Gowrie 4th of July street dance brought huge crowds to Market Street in front of Old Town Road Pub and Eatery on Saturday night. Sunday's crown jewel was the celebration was the Bill Riley talent search at the Betty Knight Hamilton Band Shell on Sunday night at the City Park. Mia Olson, aged 9 in West Des Moines, blew away the crowd with her ventriloquist act. It was her first time performing in front of an audience after she taught herself how to do the act last summer. My grandma had this really creepy doll, clown doll, so I brought it home, she said. And one day I was bored in the summer, so I decided to sit in the garage, look at it, and then I decided, why don't I try ventriloquism? Olson and her two ventriloquist dolls even performed a song on stage. I like entertaining people with it because not very many people can do it, and I like tricky minds, she said. Olson won the first place in the Sprouts division for younger kids, which means she will be competing in the Bill Riley Talent Search at the Iowa State Fair later this summer. Showcasing young talent like this is a tradition for the Gowrie 4th of July celebration, said Kendra Breitsprecher of Dayton. She is a member of the Gowrie Area Arts Council and organized the talent show event. This is our first big thing since COVID, and I think it's going well, she said. Breitsprecher said everyone seemed to be having a great time watching the talent show. It's a very happy time, a happy fourth, she said. When they say happy fourth, they mean it this year. This was Bill Riley Jr.'s last time hosting a Gowrie Independence Day talent show as he announced he is retiring later this year. The festivities celebrated the nation's 245th birthday will continue in Gowrie through today with the Gowrie Volunteer Fire Department pancake breakfast at the fire station from 7 to 9:30 a.m. Other events include a Freedom 5K run walk at the football field beginning at 7:30, a craft fair in the park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Independence Day Parade at 10 o'clock, Freedom Cruise Car Show in Laurel Park beginning at 11 o'clock, Cow Pie Bingo next to the Roper Repair Shop on Pleasant Street at 1 o'clock, and there's a carnival in the city park all day. Heading back to the main page of the messenger, Writing for a Cause is the title of the next article. The 15th annual Angel Ride to Save the Tatas, which raises thousands of dollars each year to support local breast cancer patients, will be Saturday at Amigos. In 2019, $15,048.50 was donated to Unity Point Health Trinity Cancer Center to help breast cancer patients. In all, Angel Ride has been able to donate over $320,000 since its founding, according to Don Wesley, president of the Angel Ride. Sign up for this year's ride starts at 9 o'clock at Amigos. The ride begins at 11, but Wesley said once people register, they are free to begin the route. It's a fun run. It's motorcycles, cars. We've had people ride bicycles. You can bring car, truck, it doesn't matter, she said. She said the goal is to have everyone on the road by 11 a.m. The route typically includes stops at 209 in Maine and Peyton, just one more in Jamaica, the Flat Tire Lounge in Madrid, and then Copperhead Saloon and Grill in Stratford. After those stops, the party will continue at Amigos for auction items, fun, and food. The Angel Ride began 14 years ago with an idea from Shirley Hopman. She had been a part of Fighting Angels Breast Dragon Boat Team and had a vision of helping breast cancer patients with uninsured services. And she went off from that and said, let's do a ride, Wesley said. Over the years, it's just continually kept growing. Wesley has been involved ever since. She's helped set up the auction at Amigos, and that's where I've always been over the years, she said. Wesley said, knowing that the money is going directly to the cancer patients is key. The community consistently steps up for the cause, she said. The community's support is phenomenal. It's amazing how the community comes together and helps, she said. Everybody has seen a side of what our event actually does. It truly goes to the patients because that's what it's to go to, is help the patients continue their fight. We'll head back to the main page of the Messenger. The next item to read is entitled Fireworks Spectacular. And there's a picture in the Messenger as it shows a fireworks exploding just at the precise time. And the caption says, Otho wrapped up its annual 4th of July celebration with a spectacular fireworks show Sunday night. Rocking Out for Celebration is the title of the next article in today's Messenger. And that is another picture. Shows a bunch of people at the fence waving their hands and clapping. And the caption says, fans enjoy watching Cheap Trick perform live during the 2021 celebration at Harlan and Hazel Rogers Sports Complex on Friday night. Otho celebrates their 4th of July with a parade. That will be the title of the next article in today's Messenger. And this also shows a picture of Sarah Small. She waves while riding on the Webster County Democrats parade float during the Otho 4th of July parade on Sunday afternoon. There's another photo in today's Messenger. Looks like another large parade. And it says, Sac City celebrates Chautauqua Days. The caption says that Abu Bakr Shriners of Sioux City were one of many entries in the Chautauqua Days parade Saturday held in Sac City. The organization is known for its support of Shriners Hospitals for Children. Club Roundup for this week. PEO Chapter IM will meet at 1:30 Wednesday at Trinity United Methodist Church. Golden K Kiwanis meets at 9:30 Wednesday at the Tompkins Celebration Center at Friendship Haven. Noon Lions, 11:30 Wednesday at the Lions Den. Al-Anon Family Group meets at noon on Sunday at 12 North 7th Street. Al-Anon Family Group meets at 5 o'clock Thursday at 12 North 7th Street. Codependency Anonymous meets at 6 o'clock Saturday at Grace Lutheran Church. Fort Dodge Animal Health retirees meet at 11:30 Monday at Pizza Ranch. Fort Dodge Senior High Class of 1949 meets at 11 a.m. at Wednesday at Village Inn. VFW Post 1856 Auxiliary meets at 6 o'clock Wednesday at the VFW Post Home. Clubs and nonprofit organizations can have meetings and events announced in Club Roundup by getting the information to the Messenger newsroom by 5 p.m. the Wednesday the week before the event. There's an article, What Seniors Are Saying. And again, for whatever reason, the article is very complete except for it doesn't include the senior's name. So if I find out who this was later in the week. I'll try and remind myself to let you know. What programs and activities do you participate in? This person participates in band and plays the bass drum. What academic accomplishment are you most proud of? I'm most proud of being one of the leaders in Drumline. I'm looking forward to having fun with the 2021 show. What's your best piece of advice for younger students? My piece of advice for underclassmen would be to not let yourself get behind in classes, also to be you and don't let people tell you how you should be. The 4 years go by so fast, so treat every day like it's your last. What is a go-to song or artist for you? My go-to song is Don't Stop by Megan Thee Stallion, especially because it's a great song to have playing during passing time to give you that extra confidence boost. What is your favorite class or subject and why? My favorite subject is art because it's really relaxing to have a period where you get to decide how you want to do your assignment and you can express yourself in it. What is your favorite movie? My favorite movie is Hidden Figures because it's such a powerful movie and it's very inspiring for younger generations. If you could have dinner with someone famous, who would you want it to be and why? I mean, to be honest, I would have dinner with Nicki Minaj. She has had a lot of scams and hate trains and she is still going to make music for us. She isn't letting the hate get to her. And I would want to know how she stays so strong. What are you working on hardest right now? I'm trying to focus on working hard at my abilities to balance multiple things at once. You know, with school, social life, work, and family, it's hard for students in today's world. Who is your role model in life? Again, I would have to say Nicki Minaj because she has her life together and is running the rap game right now. So I would have to have her be my role model because she is on top of the world. What is your favorite memory from your time at Fort Dodge Schools? My favorite memory from school is in elementary school when we did the egg drop. Mine didn't survive, but it was still fun to see stuff being dropped out of the windows. And again, that's an interview with the Fort Dodge Senior High Class of 2022. This question and answer features high-performing seniors from Fort Dodge Senior High and St. Edmund High School throughout the school year. And like I said, if I hear who that person was, I'll try and remind myself to tell you that. We'll take a look at other articles that are going on in the Messenger. The new Lions, the 2021 new Lions Scholars have been announced. They are Jerry Chadda, son of Joe and Jody Chadda, James Daniels, Sam Daniels, and Thomas Daniels, son of Jeff and Jody Daniels, Nathan Rethwish, son of Stephen and Mary Rethwish, Sawyer Springer, son of Steve and Julie Springer, and Chloe Wirtz, daughter of Mark and Andrea Wirtz. Those are the recipients of the Noon Lions scholarships for 2021. Two fundraisers to support the upkeep of the Landmark Depot in Rockwell City will be held this week. Root beer floats will be served beginning at 4 o'clock Wednesday at the depot at 234th Street. Root beer floats will be served before, during, and after the Calhoun County Expo Parade. A free will donation will be accepted. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., the annual show and shine for cars and pickups will be held at the depot. Entry fee is $15. The need for new is the title of the next article. Computer chip shortages have slowed the production of new vehicles, and the price for used cars has climbed. If you've driven around some of the auto dealerships in Fort Dodge, or anywhere for that matter, you may have noticed there aren't as many new vehicles to see. That's because computer chips that are an essential part of building new vehicles have been in short supply. There are as many as 80 different computers and more. Let's try that again. There are as many as 80 different computers in more sophisticated models. These computers control everything from touch screens to transmissions to partially automated driver safety features. A disruption in the supply of those chips has led to a shortage of new vehicles being delivered to the lots of local dealerships. According to TJ Pingo of Shimcat Motor, general manager, there are three manufacturers in the world that produce chips for vehicles. He said a combination of natural disasters, the COVID-19 pandemic, has caused the closure of two of the three major factories throughout the past year. Things everywhere changed with COVID. At the start of that, they stopped production for vehicles for a little bit, and that slowed inventory. But when production started back up a couple months later, computer chip makers had switched to manufacturing semiconductors for consumer electronics like laptops and gaming systems, according to published news reports. That created a shortage of automotive chips. Then in March, Renesas Electronics Corporation, one of the companies that produces the chips, had a fire at its Japan factory. Earlier this month, the company announced that it had nearly recovered from the blaze. Additionally, NXP semiconductor plants in Texas were shut down earlier this year due to severe winter storms. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, or TSMC, is another manufacturer, but it has prioritized some of the chips for the making of smartphones. These semiconductors are just gone right now, Pingle said. New vehicles are very difficult to get right now. I think that's what people are seeing missing from some dealerships. With all the complications, Pingle said it could be a while before production levels are totally back to normal. It sounds like starting next quarter, all three major manufacturers will be up and running, Pingle said. We should start receiving full shipments by quarter four. I think next year, probably 2022, we will start looking a lot more normal when people drive by the car dealerships. We will be probably full capacity next year. The inventory of new vehicles at Ford, Dodge, Ford, Lincoln, Toyota is lower than usual, according to Matt Johnson, the dealership's general manager. But he said the new vehicles the dealership gets have been selling briskly. We have been very fortunate, said Johnson. Business is great. He said new vehicles have been selling soon after they arrive at the dealership on Fifth Avenue South. He said the used vehicle market is strong and added that vehicles people are trading in, most cases worth more than they have ever been. Although newer vehicles have been harder to come by, Pingle said Shimcat has been relatively fortunate with its inventory. We have been pretty lucky, Pingle said. We still have over 20 new vehicles with more coming in. New vehicles at Shimcat's on Fifth Avenue South include Jeep Cherokees, Jeep Gladiators, and Dodge Ram 1500s. The loaded-up Ram 1500s were hit hard, Pingle said. I know a lot of dealerships I've talked to that don't have those on the lot. We have been lucky that we haven't run out yet. Pingle said the Chrysler Pacifica minivan, which includes a high number of safety features, has been hurt by the semiconductor shortage. Meanwhile, Pingle said Shimcat has more used vehicles on the lot than there have been in 50 years. We have over 50 used cars on the lot, Pingle said. People are still buying, but new vehicles are short right now. Having fewer new cars has led to an average price increase for used vehicles throughout the country. In the past year, throughout the U.S., used vehicle prices on average have climbed 30%, according to Black Book, which tracks car and truck data. The chip shortage has been unprecedented in many respects. I've been doing this a dozen years. We have never seen anything like this, Pingle said. I'm talking with the Shimcats. They've been doing this for 75 years. They said they haven't seen anything like this. The disruption in the supply chain is a different kind of problem compared to the Great Recession experienced over a year ago. We have so much demand and we can't keep up with it, Pingle said. The worst problem to have is to not have the vehicles to get everyone one. The recession, you just didn't order as many to make sure you were okay. This is the opposite. Nothing has slowed down in terms of people shopping like they always have. It is bizarre. We have never seen anything like this. Johnson said Ford and Toyota have told dealers that May and June should be the low point for the inventory of new vehicles. He said the number of new vehicles available for sale is expected to gradually grow through the summer and fall before returning to normal levels late this year and early next year. Locally, we've been very fortunate. because the economy is so strong. He said, "We feel lucky to be here and to be able to serve our customers." Lehigh Methodist Church in Lehigh is holding a second Sunday supper from 5 to 7 on July 11th. The menu features walking taco or baked potato bar and desserts for a free will donation. Those attending may dine in or carry out. You may call 359-2329 for curbside pickup. Cole Peterson has been named a partner at Central Financial Group. "We are excited to add Cole as a partner at CFG," said President Doug Marlowe. "He has a work ethic and leadership style that fit our mission of helping people reach their financial goals while offering exceptional customer service." Marlowe added, "As a partner, he can continue to help families and individuals with their financial needs while guiding the overall vision of the company and leading the amazing team we have working here at the Fort Dodge office." Central Financial Group has offices in several locations in Iowa, including Johnston, Algona, and Fort Dodge. Peterson has been with his company since 2017. His partnership became effective on July 1st. The refuse or trash collection has been changed due to the holiday. Garbage collection in Fort Dodge is different this week due to the Independence Day holiday, the Public Works Department reported. Trash normally collected on Monday will be collected Tuesday. Trash normally collected on Tuesday will be collected on Wednesday. Normal recycling collection will be done on Wednesday. Trash collected normally on Thursday will be collected on Friday. The Central Garage at 3001 8th Avenue South was not open for yard waste disposal on Monday. Curbside yard waste will not be picked up on Friday. Soldier Creek Winery at 1584 Paragon Avenue won Best of Show in the Sweet category during the Rose Competition in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The fine wine competition was held June 18th. The judges were thrilled by its balance of fruit, sweetness, and complexity. A reminder that the Blandin Memorial Art Museum will be closed on Tuesday in observance of the 4th of July holiday. Normal hours resume on Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Martin Luther King Drive between 6th and 10th Avenues North will be closed to traffic beginning Tuesday, according to the Fort Dodge Public Works Department. The street will be closed for ongoing concrete patch repairs. Looking at the Messenger editorial page, there's a letter to the editor. This is signed by Rick Carl. To the editor, "The Friends of Oakland Cemetery Commission would like to thank everyone who came Friday night, June 11th, to the cemetery, and Sunday afternoon, June 13th, to Decker Auditorium. We would also like to thank the portrayers who did another great job this year. We would also like to thank Graham Tire, Gunderson Funeral Home, CNS Products, and Smeltzer Trust Foundation and Shimcat Motor Company for their continued donations. We would like to thank Party Productions for the costumes, Ashley Garst for all the technical work she does to make the presentation a success. We would like to thank Iowa Central Community College for the use of Decker Auditorium. In all, it was a successful year. We are planning on cleaning headstones in September. Look for the announcement in the Messenger." And that is a messenger. That is a letter to the editor from Rick Carl. "The abrupt Afghanistan withdrawal is dangerous, according to Joni Ernst." That is the title of an article, or a column rather, she has provided for the Messenger. "When an American president makes a decision on military deployment, the action sends signals to friends and foes alike around the globe. Take, for example, President Joe Biden's decision to withdraw the U.S. military presence in Afghanistan by September 11, 2021. Not only was this hasty and misguided, disregarding conditions on the ground. There was also a political message calculated for a front page or primetime talking point on the 20-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. We can't ignore the reality on the ground in Afghanistan. Many of the threats that brought us there in the first place are spreading through the region. The Taliban is gaining strength and threatening the Afghanistan government. They've also threatened those who work alongside our U.S. military and diplomatic personnel. President Biden's announcement of a precipitous withdrawal emboldens the Taliban and their allies. Once the United States military is gone, I'm concerned the Afghan people will struggle to hold on, giving space for extremist groups like Al-Qaeda and rogue terrorist groups like Iran to regroup for continued attacks against the United States. And sadly, recent history would show that this is a very dangerous reality that could easily play out in person or on social media. U.S. military, intelligence, and homeland security agencies must be vigilant and clear-eyed about what the inevitable consequences of a rushed withdrawal from Afghanistan could mean to our homeland. We should not leave haphazardly and without a plan, and doing so unconditionally and uncoordinated may risk our national security. The American people know that what happens over a continent away can have a direct impact on their safety. That's why I'm introducing the Preventing Terrorism from Hitting America Streets Act. This bill will require our nation's military, intelligence, and homeland security branches to take a cold hard look at the increased risk that a hurried withdrawal from Afghanistan poses to our homeland. Terrorists can hide in the masses, creating the ongoing crisis at our southern border. Earlier this year, two Yemeni men who were on the FBI's terrorist watch list were detained at the southern border, and 11 Iranians were caught illegally entering our country. The radical extremists who planned and executed terrorist attacks on our soil nearly 20 years ago also slipped into the country. Failed border security, combined with no forward thinking or strategy around a potential terrorist resurgence in Afghanistan, could lead to devastating consequences for our country. That's why this new bill will require our military, intel, and homeland security officials to analyze and explain to Congress what kind of illicit activities are being carried out at our southern border by terrorist groups and our adversaries around the globe. My bill will also require an assessment of the potential for Afghanistan to be used as a base of operation for international terrorism after the withdrawal of our military. It's forward thinking and a step toward having some semblance of a plan. I commanded troops overseas during Operation Iraqi Freedom. As a military leader, it was my responsibility to be on guard and always watch against any threats to my troops and ultimately our country. My fellow commanders realized the decisions we made there affected lives back here. It's with this mindset and posture that the President and his administration must approach our drawdown in Afghanistan. We cannot have a repeat of history. There needs to be a plan to ensure the safety and security of this country against any threats at home or abroad. And again, that's a column written by Joni Ernst, U.S. Senator representing the state of Iowa. Taking a look next at from our files, going back to July 2006, 15 short years ago, there's a picture of Chelsea Beck of Fort Dodge and Allie Aarons of Otho, along with Hunter Howerson of Fort Dodge, as they try to pop balloons at one of the many game stalls set up in the city park. And that goes to from our files, July 2006. You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Service for the Blind, and now we will turn to today's obituary page. Edith Ruth Bloomquist. Edith Ruth Bloomquist, 98, of Nevada, formerly Dayton, died June 30th. This is also the date, June 30th, she married Paul Bloomquist in 1945. Edith was born on her family farm south of Fort Dodge on April 16, 1923, to Anna Jondal and Laddie Fiala. Edith graduated from Otho High School in 1941. attended Iowa State Teachers College in Cedar Falls and taught country school at Elkhorn No. 5 for 3 years. Paul and Edith made their home on a farm south of Dayton where their three children were raised, Marlon, Meredith, and Julie. Edith was known for being a wonderful and supportive farm wife, from helping with livestock to driving a tractor. She was an amazing cook and always welcomed company for a meal. Her grandchildren will always remember her making all their favorite desserts. Edith happily made Paul's favorite Swedish dishes, even though she was a full-fledged bohemian. Edith and Paul enjoyed Sunday night dances at the Bohemian Hall, where they first met. She assisted her children with their 4-H products and taught Sunday school at their church. Edith will be remembered for her love for the Lord and being involved in church activities. Left to cherish her memory are two daughters, Meredith Halverson and Julie Davitt, daughter-in-law Ann Bloomquist, 7 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her husband Paul in 1992, son Marlon in 1996. Her parents and 3 sisters, Evelyn in infancy, Leona Bethel, and Clarice Pearson. Visitation is Saturday, July 10th from 12:30 to 1:30, with a service at 1:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dayton. Memorials may be given to Memorial Lutheran Church in Nevada, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dayton, or the Israel Family Hospice House in Ames. The family would like to thank those who assisted in the wonderful care she received in the care facilities in Nevada, Mary Greeley Hospital, and the Israel Family Hospice House. Carson Stapp Funeral Home in Dayton is in charge of arrangements. From Woden, Violet Corti. Graveside services for Violet Corti will be 10 a.m. Monday, July 12th at Bingham Township Cemetery in Woden. Visitation is 4 to 6 Sunday, July 11th at Ewing Funeral Home in Britt. Ewing Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Francesca Bloom. Francesca Bloom, 84, of Fort Dodge, died Saturday, July 3rd at Villa Cottages. Services are pending at Laufesweiler Funeral Home. Etta J. McLeod. Etta J. McLeod, 72, of Fort Dodge, died Friday, July 2nd at Trinity Regional Medical Center. Services are Friday, July 9th at 11 a.m. at Harvest Baptist Church, with burial to follow at North Lawn Cemetery. Visitation is Thursday from 4 to 7 at Laufesweiler Funeral Home. From Eagle Grove, Lois Barnes. Memorial services will be 10:30 Wednesday, July 7th for Lois Barnes at Faust Funeral Home in Eagle Grove. Visitation is 4 to 6 Tuesday at Faust Funeral Home in Eagle Grove. Pamela Axness. Funeral services for Pamela Axness will be 11 a.m. Friday at Bruce Funeral Home. Visitation 1 hour prior to the service. Memorials may be directed to the family. Bruce's funeral home is in charge of arrangements. Kevin D. Cole. Kevin D. Cole, 56 of Fort Dodge, died Thursday, July 1st at Unity Point Trinity Regional Medical Center. Private services will be held at a later date. Bruce's funeral home is in charge of arrangements. Mana Sabo. Mana Sabo, 87 of Fort Dodge, died June 25th at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home. Visitation is 6 to 7:30 on Friday, July 9th at Grace Lutheran Church. Celebration of Life will be at 1 o'clock p.m. on July 10th at Grace Lutheran Church, with the Reverend Dan Call officiating. Gunderson Funeral Home cremation services are entrusted with the arrangements. Mana Louise Allison was born April 1st, 1934, the daughter of Vernon and Mabel Allison. She graduated from Fort Dodge Senior High in 1952, attended Lutheran Bible Institute in Minneapolis and Luther College in Wahoo, Nebraska. On August 18, 1957, Mana was united in marriage to Willard Sabo. Mana was an active member of Grace Lutheran Church and for many years taught Sunday school and confirmation. She'll be remembered for her community volunteer work, Girl Scout and Cub Scout leader, band boosters, serving on the symphony board over 40 years, and at Trinity Regional Medical Center, and 30 years with Unity Point Hospice. Survivors include her children, Lisa Johnson, Scott Sable, Todd Sable, grandchildren, Kirsten, Annika, Anna, and Eric, her siblings, Joyce Phipps, Virginia Holcomb, Donald Allison, her half-siblings, Richard Allison, Tootie Allison, Vernon Allison, Jim Allison, Eva Fisher, and Donna Johnson, numerous nieces and nephews, and their special foreign exchange daughter, Andrea Benska. Mana was preceded in death by her husband of nearly 60 years, Will, in 2017. Her parents, a son-in-law, Don Johnson, granddaughter, Kieran Johnson, her siblings, Carolyn St. Clair, Mardella Donaldson, Dolores Schultz, and Verna Mae Dudley. Mana will be remembered fondly as the Pie Lady with her family and friends. She loved making quilts and book bags for Lutheran World Relief. When she was younger, she had always wanted to go serve in the mission field, but her life was ultimately devoted to service toward community. She lived her entire life by one simple rule: only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that is a quote from C.T. Studd. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed towards the discretion of the family. And that concludes today's look at the obituary page. Going to head over to the sports section next. Dodgers instant impact. PAC transfer Davidson is an immediate contributor in track and baseball. Christian Davidson is patiently working and waiting for Dodgers senior as a steady contributor at the plate and whenever possible in the field for the Dodgers on the baseball diamond this season. The Pocahontas area transfer hasn't been on the mound though in nearly a month, and for a two-time All-State pitcher, the uncertainty certainly creates a level of frustration. Davidson refuses to give up hope of a return to the hill, especially after MRI results revealed no structural damage. "My arm is starting to feel better," said Davidson, who leads the Dodgers in batting with 390, total bases of 49, despite the injuries and distractions. "It felt good to get out there and play in the field last week, especially since we're getting toward the end of the season. There was no structural damage, which made me very happy and relieved. It was just inflamed and overused. Hopefully I'm able to get back on the mound again this season. I'm going to throw some bullpens this week and see how it feels. I'm just happy I'm able to contribute to the team in some way, given I can't pitch. I try helping the team in any way I can, whether that's at the plate, in the field, or just trying to give help to other guys." Davidson made the move from PAC to Fort Dodge for his senior year. His father, Aaron, became principal at Fort Dodge Middle School in 2019. "The biggest reason to transfer to Fort Dodge, just always being away from my family," said Davidson, who stayed in Pocahontas as a junior last year. "Practices and games at Pokey wouldn't get done until late, so I would always have to stay there. I'm definitely a homebody, so it got to be a lot away, always being away from family. It was hard to leave my friends at Pocahontas area and the school experiences I had there. I have some awesome friends there and made some great memories with sports and just life in general. They were so understanding about my decision to transfer to Fort Dodge. I love those guys. We'll always be friends." Davidson's presence at senior high was immediately felt on the track this past spring. The Dodgers medaled both in the 4x100 and sprint relays behind Davidson, Tyler Schreier, Sam Daniel, and Jake Erickson. "It's been awesome to make new friends here at Fort Dodge," said Davidson, an academic all-stater in track. "My teammates and coaches made me feel so comfortable right away, both in track and baseball, and I'm thankful for that. It was great to come back and finish my senior year as a Dodger. I'm able to finish my high school career with a lot of guys I started playing with when I was younger. I've already made so many memories here that will last a lifetime. Davidson has 21 RBI, 20 runs scored, and 8 doubles offensively in 2021 with Fort Dodge. At Pocahontas area, he hit 419 as a junior, 449 as a sophomore, while going a combined 14-2 on the mound. In limited action this summer, Davidson has struck out 24 batters in 17 innings. The Iowa Central recruit had 128 strikeouts and 98 innings pitched with the Indians over the past 2 years combined. Honestly, I never looked at it as me transferring from Class 2A to 4A. Baseball is baseball, Davidson said. I knew there would definitely be a lot of talent and really good players at teams at the 4A level, but if you put the time and work in, you will be successful in anything you do. I just want our team to go out there, compete, have fun, and play for each other. If we do that, I know we can have a very successful end of the season. And time out with Christian Davidson. His favorite vacation destination would be Paris. He would like to have dinner with Barack Obama and Martin Luther King. It would surprise people that he is actually very talkative if you get to know him. His favorite sports model is Jackie Robinson and LeBron James. His everyday role model are his parents. I can't go a day without chocolate milk. His favorite road trip is to Colorado. Right now he is listening to Polo G. His favorites include teams, Hawkeyes, Cubs, and Bears. His favorite class is anatomy. His favorite show is Impractical Jokers. A book he enjoys is anything written by Stephen King, and his favorite phone app is TikTok. When you walk into a Fort Dodge athletic event, there is always a friendly face at the ticket booth, as Chris Vinson has been the first face you see at Dodger activities. Vinson, who has been Fort Dodge's ticket taker for the past 20 years, has announced her retirement. I've done it for 20 years. It was just time. It's a chance for someone else to enjoy the job, Vinson said. My grandkids are getting older and they always like to go. I want to go to a basketball game. I haven't been in one over 20 years because I'm always at the gate. Fort Dodge Assistant Athletics Director Ryan O'Leary presented Vinson with a plaque and lifetime pass to Dodger events in the Dodgers doubleheader against Mason City on Wednesday. She was the first person you would see when you came to a Fort Dodge event. She was friendly and set the tone for fans' expectations of senior high, O'Leary said. People would always joke with her about if she ever went home because she was always at the door. Vinson began working the ticket gate when her son Nick, a 2001 graduate, the current head boys and girls bowling coach and assistant baseball coach, was playing baseball. When Nicholas was playing, somebody couldn't do it, so they asked me if I was interested. I meet so many people at the events, and then I would see them around town. I would see them at the store, and they would say, "There's the ticket lady." Vinson, who is a paraeducator for 18 years in the Fort Dodge district, has taken a ticket at every sporting event at senior high. I've done everything. I've only done soccer a couple of times. I did state cross country as well. I've done some sports more than others, but I've been at every one, Vinson said. I've really enjoyed it. I got to know the kids in the sport and their families. I just had fun doing it. O'Leary enjoyed the fact that when it was time to find someone for an event, he knew who would get his call. No matter what, I could always count on her, O'Leary, who has been the assistant AD since 2015 and was a 2005 senior high graduate. I remember her taking tickets when I was in school. I never had to worry if she was going to be there. She was Mrs. Automatic and very reliable. I never had to worry. Having someone to count on was something that made O'Leary's job a lot easier, of finding someone to cover an activity. The thing is, you don't realize what you have until it's gone, O'Leary said. She was very trustworthy. We didn't have to watch over her. She was always my first call. She always said she would be there whenever we needed her. She made my job a lot easier. She was the face of the Dodgers because she was the first person you would see. Seeing the people was a fond memory that Vinson will take with her. I enjoyed the people so much, she said. I would see the people from out of town and they would say, "You're still here?" Fort Dodge is a great school and is like a big family. Vinson will always remember the fans but also the sports staff that she has worked with. I want to thank Tom Kenseth, Matt Elsbecker, and Kevin Astor for standing by me in putting up with me, Vincent said in a Facebook post after receiving the plaque. But to my buddy Ryan O'Leary for always helping me out, taking care of things, and making sure we were always balanced out. I want to thank my family for putting up with me going to games all the time. To my son Nicholas, if it weren't for you being an athlete, I never would have gotten into this. After two more baseball games left at the gate, Vincent will have the chance to sit in the stands and reflect as she enjoys the games that she hasn't gotten a chance to. I just want to thank everyone for being considerate and nice, Vincent said. I enjoyed it and will miss all the people. The Pfeiffer-Lick family values the passion and commitment of golfers who participate in the 41st annual Fort Dodge Ford Lincoln Toyota Webster County Golf Tournament. Pfeiffer-Lick Martial Arts and Next Edge Performance will again be sponsoring 8 different par 3 contests, 4 for the men, 4 for the women, on Lakeside during this year's event. The winners will take home $100 each with a limit of 1 prize per person. The county golf tournament is a highlight of the year for us, said Justin. For my family, the county golf event means spending quality family time doing something together we all love. I love golfing with her son, Michael, and Deanne loves to golf with their daughter, Kelsey. And it is even more fun when one of us win, which only one of us knows best, Kelsey, with 7 county titles. But really, we like it best when the 7 of us can get together, including Justin and Deanne, Kelsey, Zach, and Grace, and Michael and Ashley. Building strong business and personal relationships with those who share the love of golf gives us a common bond. There are core similarities with Pfeiffer-Lick Martial Arts, golf, and Next Edge Performance, such as courtesy, integrity, perseverance, along with relaxing, maximizing, and recovery. Because of those shared beliefs, we feel those who are focused on the game and making the closest to the pin shot deserve to be rewarded. The sign-up period continues for this tournament, which is July 10th and 11th at Lakeside Golf Course and the Fort Dodge Country Club. All players are asked to register at Lakeside at 576-6741, which will be the location for day one of both the men's and women's action this year. The 19th Annual Garden Tour, sponsored by the Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club, will be held Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. This year's tour will feature 8 different stops, promising to bring a variety of gardens from flowers to vegetables, as well as a wide array of different gardening practices and techniques. The tour will also provide a personal view of vegetable garden, raised bed gardens, work done by area master gardeners, a garden of fruit trees, a hidden garden, ponds, shade gardens, a wide variety of container gardening, and even a gnome home. You're going to see people who have fenced in their vegetable gardens to protect it from deer and different types of fencing for deer protection, said Marilyn Peterson Ship, Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club member. There are a variety of different ways people have landscaped their gardens, said Skip Thompson, who is also a garden club member. Some of them have combinations of both vegetables and flowers. Thompson and Peterson Ship said the homeowners will be on hand to provide tips, talk about the different plants they raise, and more. The annual tour, Thompson said, is a way for people to showcase all their hard work. It's an expression of their artistic ability with living plants, she said. In the past, the tour was held in the afternoon, but since starting the Twilight Tour in 2017, the club has found great success. It's a Friday night. People are ready to go out and do something, said Thompson. It's early enough you can have your tour and go out to eat after the gardens are much different in the middle of the day. We used to have it in the middle of the day when it's hot. People don't come out on a hot day. This is more relaxed. Tickets can be purchased at Becker Florist or from a Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club member. They are $10 for adults and children 14 and under when accompanied by a paying adult are free. A new stop on this year's tour is the yard of Denny and Debbie Coulter. It is a showpiece, said Peterson Ship. He has done amazing landscaping with his work. A main focus to Coulter's flower gardens are the 50 pots and hanging baskets that complement his landscaping. Coulter said raising a variety of plants and flowers is a hobby, but he puts as many hours in as a full-time job. I grew up doing this stuff with my mom and dad. He said it's a passion of mine. Coulter's parents were Jerry and Pauline Coulter, owners of Jerry's Fruit Basket. We had a 20-acre garden and sold flowers, too. It was something that got into my blood, and I can't get it out. Every year I say I'm cutting back, but every year I add more. Coulter said he chooses to landscape using containers as it is easier for him to do so. I was in a bad accident 20 years ago, and I don't get up and down very easy, he said. Another benefit to potted plants is he has more of a control of that specific plant's growing environment. I can control the growth better, he said. You're dealing with a specific pot and dirt. Some things require different care, and you can give them what they want. The containers can be rotated throughout his yard as well. If one is struggling, it can be put back out of sight while it recovers. If there is a particular pot that is flourishing, it can easily be brought to the front to be showcased. Coulter said his true love is tropical plants, especially hibiscus. One particular hibiscus tree that he has had for 13 years was started from a small cutting. Other favorites include Taurinias and Scaevola. Mainly, he prefers to plant flowers that do not require a lot of maintenance. Coulter had been having issues with deer coming into his yard. They really liked the hibiscus. My yard was smorgasbord for them. Sprays might work, but they have a strong odor and require frequent reapplications. To control the issue, he simply expanded the height of his fence. Coulter has proven even the most unproductive pieces of land can be turned into something beautiful. He said he had issues getting grass to grow near the edge of his property line. After some examination, he found a layer of cement 6 inches under the dirt left by contractors that built the house. His solution became a rock garden. Driving by, one will never know what a problem area that once was. Coulter said he is ready to visit with people during the Twilight Tour, and the fact that he has worked in a variety of professional settings, such as his family's business, Eddie's Greenhouse, Smitty's, and more, people are going to get some expert advice. If you like flowers, you have to come look, he said. About the Fort Dodge Federated Garden Club, they meet the third Thursday of each month at 1 o'clock at the Lion's Den in Fort Dodge. Peterson Ship said guests are welcome to attend meetings, and oftentimes an informational program is included. The Garden Club uses funds raised from the Twilight Tour and their annual plant sale to support scholarships in horticulture at Iowa Central, the Iowa Arboretum, the Botanical Center, and donating books to the Fort Dodge Public Library. If you would like to showcase your garden for next year, Thompson and Peterson Ship encourage you to attend a meeting or contact a club member or visit Jeff Becker at Becker's Florists. We'll go ahead and track down this date in history as our time together is starting to dwindle. Among the highlights on this date, July 5th, the bikini was introduced in 1946. In 1865, the Salvation Army was founded. In 2003, World Health Organization declared the SARS virus was contained worldwide. In 1775, the Congress adopts the Olive Branch Petition. On this date in 1880, George Bernard Shaw quit his job. In 1954, Elvis Presley records "That's All Right, Mama." In 1921, the Chicago White Sox were accused of throwing the World Series. In 1996, Dolly the Sheep became the first successfully cloned mammal. In 1950, was the first U.S. fatality in the Korean War. In 1975, Arthur Ashe becomes the first black man to win Wimbledon. In 1865, conspirators court-martialed for plotting to kill Lincoln, Grant, and Andrew Johnson. In 1914, on this date, Germany gives Austria-Hungary a blank check assurance. And that's just a handful of things that happened on this date, July 5th. Taking a look next at the weather forecast for the coming several days. On Tuesday, we're going to have mostly cloudy skies, a high of 90 degrees. Tuesday night, a low of 62 with a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high of 76, low of 56. Clear skies Wednesday night. Thursday, mostly clear, high of 83, low of 64 with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Rain chances continue Friday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 86. And rain chances continue Friday with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low of 63. On Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 81. Partly cloudy Saturday night, low of 60. Partly cloudy on Sunday, and a high of 81. That's going to bring us to the end of the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Monday, July 5th. I'm Kevin Rogers at the microphone. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Of course, this podcast and many others just like it are available to you at iowaradioreading.org, and we certainly hope you're able to enjoy the podcast. Thank you for your continued support of IRIS, the Iowa Radio Information Service, for the blind. Stay safe, stay healthy, take good care of yourselves, stay cool, and we'll talk to you again real soon right here on IRIS.